You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. I'm looking forward to this conversation today. We're going to talk about Josh Allen, the Bills quarterback, and dig into things that I learned from evaluating Josh Allen and watching the first three seasons of his career unfold. I think it's important to do this type of stuff. If you want to evaluate draft prospects, your work is not done after the scouting report is written. You need to pay attention to these players, and you need to reconcile what you said about that player versus what they have become, because if you don't do that, you're never going to improve. You're never going to learn from mistakes. You have got to go back and check your work. That's how you learn. That's how you get better. And so today, our discussion is going to be about what did I learn from scouting Josh Allen. I'm going to break it into three sections. Our first segment, I'm going to look back at what I said about Josh Allen. In our second segment, I'm going to dig into the things I learned from scouting Josh Allen and how I am going to apply that to my process moving forward. And the last segment, I'm going to simply answer the question, was I wrong about Josh Allen? The first thing that I want to get into before I detail what I said about Josh Allen is talk about some of the biases that existed in my evaluation process leading into scouting and evaluating Josh Allen. Because no matter what anyone says to you, you are very much a product of things that you've learned, things you've been exposed to, things you've been right about, things you've been wrong about. All of that works together to create bias in the way you look at players. It's just part of the deal. So I go back to my evaluation on Johnny Manziel. And I remember not liking Johnny Manziel at all as a prospect. Never for a second did I buy into his style of play. I'm not talking about any of the off-the-field stuff or injuries, any of that stuff. I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm talking about him as a player and the style of football that he played with at Texas A&M. I never bought into it working in the NFL. And people came around on Johnny Manziel. I was very much an outsider, not buying into Manziel as a prospect. And being right about Johnny Manziel gave me a lot of courage, because I was in this point of my life as a football mind and evaluator where I'm watching Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. These are the premier quarterbacks in the NFL. And you look at Johnny Manziel, and there's not a lot of common ground between Manziel and those players. I was of the belief that football games are still won from the pocket. Quarterbacks still have to win from the pocket. Yes, we saw the Michael Vicks, the Dante Culpeppers, the Donovan McNabbs, those types of players come into the league and have some success. But the guys that were tried and true, the guys that continuously were in those big moments and won Super Bowls, were pocket passers. So I wasn't buying Johnny Manziel's backyard football, you know, escape the pocket, make people miss, throw the football down the field, and produce these big plays that I thought did not translate well to the NFL. And I also believed, based on being a Bills fan, that not every team gets to have Manning or Rodgers or Brady or Breeze, right? We learned that. The Bills went a long, long time trying to find a good quarterback. And I figured it was hard to do. And so with that in mind, I very much bought into having a quarterback that can keep the offense on schedule, be accurate, be smart, and do enough to win football games by building the rest of the team up to a level that would allow that quarterback to come in and just do his job and not really have to do a whole lot extra, because I thought it was hard to get a Manning, a Breeze, a Brady. And I looked at the Andy Daltons of the world and the Kirk Cousins of the world and, you know, thought about Brad Johnson being able to win a Super Bowl and Joe Flacco. You kind of buy into this, right? You're a product of what you've learned, what you've been exposed to. So I was out on Johnny Manziel, and Johnny Manziel being a bust gave me all the courage that I needed to be low on Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. Not saying that Mahomes, Allen, and Manziel are very similar altogether, right? They're stylistically guys that can, you know, play off script and throw the football down the field and play a bit of a backyard style of football. So the game has changed a lot recently, and it's shifting from that whole, you need a guy that can win the from the pocket, a Manning, a Breeze, a Rodgers, Brady, to now we want the next Mahomes or Deshaun Watson or Josh Allen or Justin Herbert, you know, those types of dynamic talent. So the game keeps evolving and shifting, and with that should come a shifting and evolving of the way we look at prospects and players. In this era of the NFL, you're not looking for the next Brady, Manning, you know, Breeze-type player, right? That's why prospects like Mac Jones and Dwayne Haskins aren't very highly valued, but teams are willing to take chances on the Watsons, the Mahomes, the Kyler Murrays, the Allens, those types of players. So the first thing I wanted to say here is that the Johnny Manziel dynamic combined with that era of football where pocket passing was king played into my opinions on Josh Allen. So what did I say about Josh Allen? Now, I wrote a full scouting report. I'm not going to sit here and read everything to you, but I'm going to hit the highlights. I'm going to read you the summary, which kind of ties everything together, and I'm going to read four different pieces of my scouting report that analyze traits that I think are important for us to bring to the table. So this is what I said in my summary regarding Josh Allen in my scouting report that I wrote when evaluating him at Wyoming and before he was picked by the Buffalo Bills. So you can see there's no bias into that. That was me looking at him independently without that lens of knowing that he was going to be the Bills quarterback. This is what I said. Josh Allen is among the most physically gifted passers to ever enter the NFL. He has rare arm talent, but lacks consistency in several critical areas needed to be successful in the NFL as a starter. While his ceiling is extremely high, considerable development is needed for him to take the reins of an NFL offense. In year one, Allen should be the understudy of his predecessor and function as a developmental quarterback. By year three, Allen has the talent needed to take him as far as he can develop. If it all comes together, he can be special. With that said, his college tape is marred by erratic ball placement and poor decisions. There has been little to no growth over his two seasons as a starter at Wyoming. Under the section of my scouting report that details accuracy, this is what I wrote. Moments of great ball placement, but highly inconsistent. Noticeable dip in accuracy when forced off his spot and required to find a quick platform. His deep ball will sail. Overall, he's erratic with flashes of brilliancy. Under arm strength, I wrote, there isn't a throw he can't make. He has rare ability to drive the football on a rope to every part of the field. He has issues changing speeds and throwing the football with touch. He can challenge the deepest windows on the field. Under decision making, I wrote, he's inconsistent reading the field despite regularly executing full field scans. He relies on arm strength to bail him out, which often gets him in trouble. He regularly forces the ball into places it cannot fit. And the last thing I want to read is progressions. Josh Allen reads the full field, but doesn't process it cleanly with consistency. He needs to take what the defense gives him more often and not ignore it for lower percentage and riskier options down the field. You probably listened to me read that and said, yeah, it sounds like Josh Allen, right? So you can see that while I wasn't high on Josh Allen, I recognized his high-level traits. I said that if it all comes together, he can be special. I said that by year three, Josh Allen has the talent needed to take him as far as he can develop. And I recognized that throughout what he was asked to do at Wyoming, you saw full field scans, full field progressions, you know, incredible arm talent, mixed bag in terms of decision making, often doing risky things with his arm, putting the ball into harm's way. Like, all of that stuff is very, very apparent through what I said about this player. And the part that's hard, and the part that we're going to get into next, is buying into and believing that those high moments still exist, the low moments come up, and that consistency is developed when inconsistency has been the norm for the player at a small school with a limited amount of reps coming into the NFL. RockAuto.com is a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. They have amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need over at RockAuto.com. So with the introduction out of the way, reflecting on some of the context that went into developing those opinions on Josh Allen and looking back on what I said about Josh Allen, I now want to answer the question, what did I learn? What did I learn from evaluating Josh Allen based on the way I perceived him at Wyoming to the player I've now seen him develop into in the NFL? Number one, bet on traits. The easiest part of Josh Allen's evaluation was identifying that he was physically gifted. He has size, he has mobility, he has ridiculous arm strength and arm talent. That is a nice foundation to work with. Now, that's not all you need. But those things matter. Traits matter. Traits allow you to play above X's and O's. When things break down, do you have the athleticism to make a guy miss in the pocket, extend a play, and hit a throw on the move? Do you have the ability to stress the defense down the field with your ability to throw the ball to the deepest windows on the field? Do you have the arm strength to fit the ball outside the numbers and put stress on the defense horizontally and force them to defend every blade of grass on the field? Josh Allen's traits enable him to put maximum stress on defenses because there isn't a part of the field that he doesn't have access to. So before you introduce anything else, his ability to challenge all of the field puts maximum stress on the defense, and that opens up a world of possibilities for your offensive coordinator and the plays that they can call and that can be executed and the ways that you could produce big plays. So traits give you options, and traits are worth betting on. Now, here's what you also have to keep in mind. Tyree Jackson had traits. Tyree Jackson had great size, great athleticism, unbelievable arm strength. But you still have to have what's between the ears, right? That's where you get your special players. You have guys that mentally understand the game, but also physically are capable of doing everything and anything on the football field. That's the difference between Tyree Jackson and Josh Allen. So bet on traits, the first lesson. Number two, work ethic and love for football matters. You hear it all the time. General managers give press conferences and they talk about what they're looking for in football players, and they say, we want guys that love football. You hear when GMs are asked about players that they draft in the press conference following the draft, they always talk about this guy loves football. It's a key trait. And a lot of times, it's not easy to identify, right? Like, if you don't know these guys, you're not around them, you don't have access to people around them that can tell you about their habits and what they like to do, you're not going to be able to identify that by watching, you know, college football on Saturday and studying some tape. But the signs were there that Josh Allen loved football. If you just kind of take a moment and look into his backstory about his high school career and him going to the junior college ranks and writing an email to every single coach in the country, trying to get a scholarship and everything that went into that, and all he wanted was a chance and how he plays the game. Like, you can look at this stuff and realize that this guy loves football. He said that growing up on a farm in California, he tried to play every sport that he could so that he didn't have to work on the farm with his dad. And, you know, that was something that his father encouraged, and it developed this competitive fire within him. And that stuff really matters. Work ethic and love for football matters. Let me show you the flip side of that. Take a guy like Dwayne Haskins. Dwayne Haskins, already a bust out of Ohio State, first round pick of the Washington football team. I remember watching a YouTube video on Dwayne Haskins after he got drafted, and it was by Men's Health, and Men's Health does this with a lot of different athletes, and it's always interesting. And it's, you know, how I spent my first $1 million that I made. And Dwayne Haskins, like, just bought the dumbest stuff. Like, just nothing intelligent that he purchased. It was superfluous purchases. It showed no discipline. It showed no ability to, like, steward his money well or be mindful of anything, you know, big picture. And I'm not saying that through that I was able to identify that he didn't love football or have a strong work ethic, but you can kind of learn a lot about a player when they become vulnerable like that and talk about purchases that they made and how they spent their money. Like, he just didn't get the right impression that his priorities were in the right places. You go back to a guy like Josh Rosen, who, you know, was very privileged in his upbringing, had everything he wanted, you know, questions about his personality and his love for the game, and does he like tennis, and, you know, does he need football, all that type of stuff. Like, there were questions there, and look at where Josh Rosen is now. Some of that stuff is true about Zach Wilson this year, the quarterback from BYU. So pay attention to that stuff. Like, it's easy to dismiss it, and it's easy to puff up your chest and say, it's okay for these people to have lives outside of football. I'm not saying that they can't have lives outside of football. That's not what I'm getting at. But you have to know these people. You have to figure out how they're wired and evaluate how important football is to them and what they're willing to put into their work and preparation to become the best football player that they can possibly be. How important is it to them? That matters a ton. And so when you take traits, you take work ethic and love for football, those three things off the charts for Josh Allen. Next thing, tough and smart matters. I was listening to the Go Long podcast with Tyler Dunn, Jim Monas, and Eric Wood recently. Really great episode. And Jim Monas talked about something that he learned from his scouting director when he was with the New Orleans Saints. And he was referring to Rick Reprisch. And Rick said that the worst college football player he ever watched was Jeff Saturday. We all know Jeff Saturday went on to have an unbelievable career with the Indianapolis Colts. And he said that Jeff Saturday was the worst college football player he'd ever watched. But he kept on hearing from people around the program, his teammates, and kind of just identifying it on his own that Jeff Saturday was smart, tough, and he loves football. And the lesson that Rick learned from taking the film evaluation and that background about him being smart, tough, and loving football is that it's worth paying attention to that. Now, it doesn't mean that every guy that's smart, tough, and loves football is going to turn into an outstanding NFL player. If that were true, I'd be in the Hall of Fame. Tim Tebow would be in the Hall of Fame. Smart, tough, and loving football is not good enough. You need to have more. But it matters to a degree. And so when you are learning about prospects, reading about prospects, and you keep seeing that reoccurring theme that they're smart, tough, and they love football, it matters a lot. The next thing is that reps matter. Reps matter. Josh Allen entered the NFL with 649 passing attempts at Wyoming. That's not a lot. It's very few. And so when you consider the rawness to his game, you consider that he only had 649 passing attempts, and you also consider the traits and the high levels of variance in his performance, you have to understand that this is a player that's going to take some time. And while reps, having a lot of reps, doesn't mean that you're going to be ready from day one and that you're going to light the world on fire, it helps us gauge how long it's going to take for them to reach their ceiling. Now, we live in a world where we want results right away. We want immediate returns on investments. We're not willing to be patient and wait for development. We want it right away. You want immediately to have that franchise savior the second he walks onto a football field and know that you got your guy. But there should have been nothing surprising about Josh Allen and his struggles early in his career, because he was a raw quarterback coming out of Wyoming with a limited amount of reps. He was not close to his ceiling when he enters the NFL. And that's important to remember in that journey. Like, if your expectations for Josh Allen was for him to come out and just be God's gift to football from day one, that was a poor calculation of his skill set and where it was entering the NFL. Reps matter. I go back to a conversation that I had with an NFL scout, and we were talking about quarterback rankings for the 2018 NFL draft. And he was telling me about the order that his team had the quarterbacks stacked. And their number one quarterback was Baker Mayfield. Their number two quarterback was Josh Allen. He thought those were the two best quarterbacks in the draft. The reason they had Baker Mayfield number one over Josh Allen was because they said he was 10,000 reps ahead of Josh Allen when it comes to practice and games. Baker Mayfield was 10,000 reps ahead of Josh Allen, and they weren't willing to wait on that ceiling to get there, right? They didn't want to wait on that development. They wanted that guy that was closer to their ceiling from day one. And so they went with Baker Mayfield as their QB1 and Josh Allen as their QB2. So just because you have a few amount of reps doesn't mean that you can't come in and have quick success in the NFL. It's just more unlikely. So take that into account and keep it in the back of your mind whenever the Bills draft a player like a Dawson Knox or a Cody Ford or a Josh Allen. And realize that, yeah, they're not going to be there from day one. They haven't played a lot of football. But then you take a guy like Deion Dawkins or Trey White, who have played a lot of football. They were like longtime starters at their universities, and they're going to be closer to their ceiling when they first enter the NFL. Tremaine Edmonds, kind of in between, started quite a few games, but kind of at multiple positions, didn't necessarily have a true spot. Like, yeah, it shouldn't be surprising to us that based on the resume and what happened in college and where they were entering the league, that guys reach their ceiling at different rates. And I hope that gives you some encouragement for some of the players that we're kind of waiting on, like Ed Oliver, like Tremaine Edmonds, like Cody Ford, like Dawson Knox. And then you compare them to a Trey White or a Deion Dawkins. and recognize, like, all right, this makes sense. This makes sense based on how quickly they developed and became, you know, impact players versus who we're still waiting on and why. Reps matter. The next thing I learned is that situation is critical. You ever think about these quarterbacks picked high in the draft and what they're asked to do? They're going to a bad football team, most likely with a new coach and a new front office. And they're asked to come in and be the savior, to be the franchise quarterback. You never played a down of NFL football in your life, but we need you to come onto this bad football team with a new coaching staff and change the future of our franchise. That's kind of a ridiculous thing to ask. It's hard to do. Situation matters. Josh Allen entered a very stable situation in Buffalo. Year two of Sean McDermott, coming onto a team that went to the playoffs the year before. I'm not saying the roster was set by any means, right? Like, they had a ton of holes on that roster. That offensive line, those weapons were awful for Josh Allen in 2018. But you knew you had the right leadership in place. They had Brian Daboll, who he's been able to work with throughout the course of his entire career to this point. They've done a great job of building around him and getting the right pieces in place for him to reach his ceiling. Like, the Bills were a very sound place for Josh Allen to go to, not to mention it's a perfect fit in terms of, you know, culture and how the city responds to players like Josh Allen. Like, the whole thing was the perfect marriage. But Baker Mayfield played for how many different three coaches in 3 years? Josh Rosen, how many different coaches and coordinators has he played with? Sam Darnold? Like, going to the right situation on many different levels matters a lot for these players. If Patrick Mahomes was the pick for the Bills in 2017, are we sure that Patrick Mahomes would be Patrick Mahomes right now? Mahomes gets to go to Andy Reid, a Hall of Fame coach, the best play caller in football, a veteran offensive line, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, learning behind Alex Smith for an entire season. If he got drafted by the Bills in 2017 and had a wasted year sitting behind Tyrod Taylor with Rick Dennison as the offensive coordinator, would Patrick Mahomes be Patrick Mahomes today? If Josh Allen went to the Arizona Cardinals, if Josh Allen went to the Cleveland Browns, is Josh Allen the player we perceive him to be today? No, I don't think so. Situation matters so much for these players. And I feel bad because these really talented prospects at quarterback, so often they go to crap situations. So situation matters. The last thing I have in this section, and it's went on a little bit longer than I thought it would, is that not every quarterback is the next Josh Allen. I already mentioned Tyreek Jackson. Traits aren't the only thing that you need. Every raw quarterback coming into the NFL is not the next Josh Allen. Josh Allen becoming the quarterback he is today is in so many ways improbable. Bruce Nolan did an amazing podcast on that, the Bruce exclusive podcast, Buffalo Rumblings. Go back and find it in the feed. I think the title of the podcast is Josh Allen, the Improbable. His path to becoming an elite starting quarterback in the NFL is very unlikely. And I feel bad for quarterbacks that teams are going to say, well, you got to give it time like Josh Allen. Look what happened with Josh Allen and the Bills. You already see it happening with Drew Locke. They're really bought into Drew Locke and referencing Josh Allen. Well, Josh Allen did it. I see Twitter fights all the time between Dolphins fans and Bills fans. Bills fans are jumping on Tua and saying he stinks. And Miami Dolphins fans are coming back and saying, well, Josh Allen stunk as a rookie and they stuck with him and look at him now. So not every quarterback is the next Josh Allen. Not every guy can take these types of steps year after year after year to become this type of player. So while there's a lot to learn from scouting Josh Allen, applying the lessons from that evaluation to other quarterbacks, we've got to be mindful of that. Putting the next Josh Allen label on other quarterback prospects or prospects that come into the league and struggle early is in most cases completely unfair to that player. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL seasons are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So the last part of our podcast today is me answering the question, was I wrong about Josh Allen? Well, I certainly didn't have him valued appropriately based on the player he became. He should have been higher on my board. He should have been higher in my quarterback rankings. For sure. But I don't know that if I read my scouting report on Josh Allen that I was wrong about anything. I think I correctly identified the player and his skill set. Where I missed is believing that he could develop into the player he has become. And I've went through already things that I should have been more mindful of and things I should be more mindful of in the future to help me be more consistent with my quarterback evaluations. So was I wrong? I don't think I was wrong. I think where my miscalculation came in was that I should have been more willing to buy into his growth. But with that said, I think there's some more things to get into. Number one, what people say about prospects is so much more important than rankings. What people say about prospects is so much more important than rankings. Don't obsess over a list of players. These are my top 10 quarterbacks. These are my top 300 players in the draft in order. Like, that's a list of players and it's interesting and we get a feel for, you know, how the talent stacks up, but I care so much more about what you say about a player than rankings. Also, don't obsess over grades. If I say a player is a first-round grade or second or a third-round grade, a fifth, a UDFA, that means something to me because I have definitions for what I expect out of a first-round grade, a second-round grade, third-round grade. Now, that varies from person to person. What I say I expect from a third-round grade could be different than another person. So lists and grades are interesting, but they're not the end-all be-all. I still care most about what people say about a prospect. If all you look and see is that, oh, Joe had Josh Rosen as QB1 and Josh Allen was QB4, what are you really gaining from that? Well, what did I say about Josh Rosen? What did I say about Josh Allen? I think that's where you have to focus your critiques for people who evaluate NFL talent. And I'll add another layer to that. If all you see is a list or grades or rankings from somebody who evaluates NFL talent and there's no scouting report, there's no written words about the skill set and what the player can become and the concerns, I don't really care what you have to say because you didn't say anything. All you did was give me a list. I want to know what you said about a player and why they're in the order that you have them more than I care about the order. I hope that makes sense to you. The last thing I'll say is that when I'm evaluating players, I'm taking all the information I can get, all the exposures I can get from film study, background information, size, athleticism, production, resume, all of that. I'm putting it together, and it's a risk assessment. Based on all of this information that I can gather, I predict, or I believe, or I forecast that the players should be valued in this order for these reasons. It's risk assessment. And I think when you look at Josh Allen, you're talking about a small school quarterback that struggled at a small school against low levels of competition and was a disaster when he played against Power 5 competition. He had very few reps, and he was inconsistent with accuracy and decision-making, which are things that most guys can't overcome, it's perfectly reasonable to have been low on Josh Allen and had doubt about the player he could develop into. So, to me, it goes back to risk assessment and comfort. How comfortable were you believing in Josh Allen to develop into a quality NFL starting quarterback? Based on the information we had, sure, you could have done a better job of piecing it together and buying in more, but I think there's plenty of reason and defendable process behind saying Josh Allen's really not for me and I don't have a high level of comfort believing in his skill set and I'd let somebody else take that risk. A completely reasonable stance to have. But what can you take about not buying in on Josh Allen that gives you some remorse, but also helps you evaluate prospects better in the future? And that's why we had the discussion we had today. So I hope you enjoyed this. I hope this was insightful. Hopefully you found it as me being candid and vulnerable and, you know, kind of peeling back the layer and diving into some of the context and reasons why and things that we can learn. And if you're not learning, then goodness gracious, whatever you do in life, whatever your job is, you know, being a parent, anything, like you always have to be learning. And I hope that this conversation was insightful to you, not only from getting to know me better and, you know, the evaluation process that I undertake that helps me develop my opinions that I share with you every day on this podcast, but you maybe apply that to what you do and say, okay, what did I not get right? Why did I not get right? And how can I be better in the future? Because that's what really matters. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed. As always, I kindly ask that you share, subscribe, rate, and review, and I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow. As a special bonus to anyone who stuck through to the end of the podcast, after I got done recording this episode, my daughter, Rebecca Jean, she's just a little over 1 year old, she came into my office, and I gave her a chance to talk into the microphone. So here is that very brief audio clip that I recorded. You got to talk in here. You got to talk in there. Come on, talk into the mic. Good job.